Open your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Before we do that, let me sing a song. Sort of been thinking about it. And since I'm not sure what the chords are, I'm just going to sing it a cappella. Right, let me see how it begins again. Once I was lost in sin's dark night, I had no way to make my robes white, and the old accuser to the Lord did cry, "This man's a sinner, and so he must die." Then I heard a voice say, "Father, I'll go, I'll pay his sin debt in Calvary's flow. I'll bear in my body the death on the cross, that I might save him who's sin sick and lost. And it's still the blood that saves from sin, and it's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depth of the sea. It's still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. Now some folks, they count on the works that they do. Others depend on the times they prayed through. But when my life is over and my last race is run, I'll be going by the blood of my Father's precious Son. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. Yes, it's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depth of the sea. It's still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, the Bible says, from all sin. And what a blessing it is to be cleansed from my sin. But if you would, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you know, Jesus didn't just stop by washing away my sins. He had more in mind. In chapter number 4 of 1 Thessalonians, the Bible says this. Begin reading in verse number 9. "Does touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, that you may have lack of nothing." Let's pray together. Dear Father, we are so thankful, God, for your preciousness and goodness to us. We ask you, Lord, now that you be with us as we consider your word today, that it might be that, Lord, which would speak to us, which would change us, Father, which would mold us into the people that you'd have us to be. We ask you, Father, for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God had more intended for you and I than just to have our sins washed away. If he had just washed my sins away and done nothing else, I could be grateful. But here, Paul is speaking to the Thessalonians, and he says there are some things here that they need to do that they might have lack of nothing. And this afternoon, I'd like to just take a few minutes and preach on this subject, how to have a full life. How to have a full life. He said here that they understood they needed to love the brethren, and that they were practicing that love of the brethren, and they should increase more and more. But he said, but there's something you need to do, some things you need to do. No, number one, notice he said that you study to be quiet. That you study to be quiet. In Psalms 119, the Bible says, in 165, it says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you want to have a full life, you need to study to be quiet. That is, to be at peace with God. To have peace, to be established. Indeed, the Bible tells us that we are to establish our hearts according to the Word of God. This is why we study the Word of God. That we may have, just like that madman from the Gadarenes, he said he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. The Bible says that we have not been given the spirit of fear, but of love, of power and of love and of a sound mind. God wants us to study to be quiet. You need to study the Word of God to have quietness in your soul, to have peace, to be established in your understanding and in your life, to study, to be quiet, to look at the Word of God that you might have peace. The second thing he said there was to do your own business. To do your own business, to work with your own hands as we commanded you. So you don't just need to study to be quiet, that is to be established in your heart with the Word of God. But you need to do what God has for you to do. Do your own business. Paul, speaking to the Corinthians in chapter number 10 of 2 Corinthians, said this in verse 14, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure. He said, we're not going outside of what we are supposed to do. We are not exercising ourselves, as the psalmist said, in matters too great for us. We are doing exactly what God called us to do. We are not going outside of our calling. He said, as though we reached not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, and to preach the gospel in regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. Paul said, I want to do the work that God has given me to do. That's what I want to do. I don't want to come in and do and boast myself of other men's labors. He says, I want to do something for God myself. I want to do what God's called me to do. He may have you doing something else, but I don't want to miss out on the work that I have to do for God. More and more as I witness to people and I realize the place that God has set me in history. The place that God has set me in geography. This is where God's put me. And I am here and I'm excited because where I am, God has said He wants to use me to accomplish His work and His will. You ought to be excited about that. And if you're not, maybe it's because you're not thinking about the work God has for you to do. You are doing a work for God. You are. You know, over there at FedEx, they give out these things called OLCCs. Okay, and they're letters either for correction or commendation. Okay, they're either correcting you for doing something wrong, or they're commending you for doing something right. You know, you can get a long list of those things for doing something wrong. It's not hard. But man, you get a list of those things for doing something right. Because you did your job, what you're supposed to do. And you didn't just do it, you did it above. You did it so much that somebody noticed that you were doing your job above what they normally see. You see, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to, as he said there, do your own business. We're not supposed to be busybody in other people's affairs, going around sticking our noses in places and talking about people. That's not our place. We have a work to do that God has set us to, and it ought to be your desire to do that to the fullest extent of your that you are humanly possibly capable of doing. You ought to long for it, strive for it, hunger for it. Because you have a business to do, working with your own hands. Working with your own hands. Saying, I did this. This is what I have done. That's why I always encourage Sunday school teachers to try their best to bring Sunday school lessons from the Word of God that they have studied themselves. Because it's always so pleasing whenever you do that and God uses it and you realize that God has used you to teach His Word to someone and it's had an effect. You want a full life? Be at peace through the study of God's Word and do what God's called you to do. Go as far with it as you possibly can. Paul said, he said there, we're not stretched beyond our measure. And he said, we're not just coming out here to you Corinthians. He said, we're ready to go beyond you. We're ready to take the gospel not just to Corinth, but to regions beyond Corinth. So that we want to take the gospel places where nobody else has taken it. So that we're not resting on, you know, so many people, they want to join a church where everything's already in place. And they can just sort of jump in and out as they want to and feel like they're doing something. Instead of people coming into church and thinking, God, what can I do here? What can I do here? How can I, what kind of ministries can I be involved in? Yea, can I even start that aren't even here yet that could be used to win people to Christ for you? That's the way it ought to be when you come to church. You ought to be coming looking for God to say, God, looking to God and say, God, show me what more we can do. Not just what we're doing, but what more. How much more can we do? How much further can we go? How much more can we give to the accomplishing of God's work until He comes? You want a full life? That'll fill your life. If you will push to reach out further than you have already, try to go a little further than you already have. Not just studying to be quiet and doing your own business. But thirdly, and notice what he said, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without. Walk honestly. You want to have a full life? Walk honestly. Be honest. Be truthful. He said this in Titus chapter 2, verse number 7, in all things, he said, showing thyself a pattern of good works. And doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Uncorruptness, that means that you're telling the right doctrine. Gravity, that means that you seriously, that you take it seriously. It is a sound doctrine. That's important to you. But sincerity says that you're living sound doctrine. Living the sound doctrine. There needs to be sincerity. And our love, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. We ought to be sincere in our love. And this particular portion of Scripture is talking about their giving to the necessity of other saints and giving to missions, that it proves the sincerity of your love for God because you're willing to give beyond just what your offering is. You're willing to go beyond that. And you prove the sincerity of your love. We ought to be sincere and our love for God and our love for others and our love for lost souls. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." We ought to be sincere, honest in the word of God. Honest in the word of God. We ought to always strive to be able to say that as far as I possibly know, I am living according to the light of the Scripture that God has shown me. That's what we ought to do. And Paul said it this way. He said, "Mind the same things." He said, "The things whereunto you have already attained," he said, "mind those things. Pay attention to them. Live by them. Don't drift back from those." That's called backsliding. He said, and if there's anything that you aren't doing right, aren't believing right, that you aren't teaching right, living right, he says, God will reveal this, even this unto you. You just need to be faithful to live what you know God has already shown you. And he'll give you more. But being honest in the word of God. Looking at ourselves honestly and saying, am I truly living according to the light that God has given me? And then honest also in 1 Corinthians 5:8, he says, "Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." It's keeping the feast, living a life of honesty and sincerity. Honesty and sincerity. You know what makes a difference? You know what makes a difference when you give somebody the gospel? Is when they know that you're telling it to them because you care about them. Because you love them. When they know that's true. Is it hard for you to tell people, listen, I love you, and that's why I want you to know this? Is that hard for you to do? Maybe it's because you're witnessing without love. You're not being honest about your life. Everybody I witness to, I tell them that I love them because I do. That's why I'm giving them the gospel. Because I care about them. I love them. I love their souls. Young, old, rich or poor, it doesn't matter. They need somebody to love them. What was it the psalmist said? No man careth for my soul. Why do we not care for the souls of men? Because we aren't living honestly. We aren't living honestly. Because if we were, we'd love the souls of men. Some people give the gospel in self-righteousness. Well, I live this way, but you don't. Some of them give this the gospel with the idea that the person they're giving it to is somehow less than they are. When they're not. I'm the same as they are. The difference is I've been born again. I'm a child of God. Living honestly. An honest life. That's what you need to do. Honesty. In our love, in our word, and in our life. You want to have a full life? You want to have one in which you will lack nothing? Study to be quiet. Let the word of God settle you and establish you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Do you believe that, or are those just words you quote and rattle out of the top of your head? Do you really believe in trusting in the Lord and acknowledge him in everything you do? It's just something you say. You need to be established. You need to do your work. You have a work to do. Do it. There is something you can do for Christ. There are people you can win. There are things that you can be involved in, ministries you can start. I appreciate them wanting to start Fun Day Sunday. Why shouldn't there be a Fun Day Sunday? Why shouldn't there be a time when the young folk can get together and have a good time in the house of God? Why is that? It's a good thing. do more. Go beyond. Reach as far as God will allow you to reach to do that work. You'll have a full life. And live honestly. Just be honest about your love and your word, God's word, and the life that you live. You'll have a full life. Just follow those three simple things. Let's all stand together.